Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thank you for joining us today.
Wait, have you borne up with the heat well?
You know, Corey? I'm raised, you know, a Texan, so I'm used to it.
Oh, that's right.
But I have to admit, yesterday I was like, gosh, I'm a little hot. And it was 86. I sent the picture of my thermometer to my dad, and it was like 107. He's like, don't even go there.
But did you have the humidity in Texas?
We did. In some cities. Houston, when I lived in Houston, yes. Austin was a little humid, but there's some dry spots too.
Ah, interesting. Well, what have we got today?
Well, coming up today in the show, in answering the call, we'll talk with author and founder of CatholicMom.com, find out how Lisa Hendy is harnessing technology to support the vocation and faith life of Catholic moms across the country.
And in no ordinary conversation, Archbishop Neinstedt discusses the Rediscover Summer Share Project. He talks about the importance of all Catholics sharing the faith with others in our lives.
Plus, she shocked the world 3 years ago when, after graduating with top honors from Harvard, she chose consecrated religious life. Now, as Sister Maria Veritas prepares for her first vows, we'll talk with her about her formation, her service to the Church, and her advice for other young women considering a vocation as a religious sister.
But we're going to start the show with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe.
Hey,
good
Joe.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, you've had a full week. I mean, back from Denver just recently, and you're in between issues now.
We're in between issues, but it's been a busy news week for
yes.
sure.
Boy, has it ever, with the Supreme Court ruling, first of all.
Yes, earlier this week we had a pair of rulings by the U.S. Supreme Court, and one that struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, and another that was, in effect, a defeat for California's Proposition 8, so-called same-sex marriage will be legal again in that state. You know, the U.S. bishops called it a tragic day for marriage and our nation, and Archbishop Cordeleone, who chairs the U.S. Bishops Subcommittee for the Promotion and Defense of Marriage, spoke afterward about the need to reclaim a marriage culture in this country and the need to help people understand what marriage really is and why it's important for the public good and the good of children. So you can count on the Church doing that as we move ahead.
Well, and it's not over. You know, the Supreme Court may think it has the last word, but it really doesn't. God has the last word.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then another event making news this week was a press conference last Wednesday in the plaza of the U.S. Courthouse building in Minneapolis. Archbishop Neinstedt and a couple of Catholic priests, as well as a number of evangelical pastors, joined together to speak in favor of comprehensive immigration reform at the federal level.
That's been a long time coming.
Yeah, it certainly has. And the Archbishop spoke on behalf of the state's Catholic bishops and you know, noted that people on all sides of the immigration debate realize that the current system is broken.
It
needs to be fixed. And he and the other faith leaders announced an open letter to Minnesota's congressional representatives, urging them to pass reform that is fair and is compassionate and respectful of human dignity and that keeps families together. And as we've heard today, the Senate passed its version of immigration reform, and now the debate moves to the House. So stay tuned on that issue.
Boy, this has been going on for years and years.
Yeah, we'll be, continuing to follow that. We've got stories up right now on thecatholicspirit.com, and we'll have more next week's issue of the paper.
And we're within the fortnight for freedom.
Right. And one important event that we shouldn't forget about that's connected with that is a holy hour coming up at the Cathedral of St. Paul tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That the public is invited to, and Archbishop Neinstedt will lead that for the intention of defending life, marriage, and religious liberty, and that will begin following the 7 o'clock Mass, 7 p.m. Mass, and all are invited to that, and the fortnight continues. It began, of course, last Friday and continues through July 4th, and it's a time that the bishops have asked us to use to pray and take action on the issue of religious liberty in our country, which is currently being threatened in a variety of ways.
Absolutely. And what else? National History Day. Yeah. Tell me what that's all about.
Well, we have a great feature story that will be in next week's issue about three teenagers from St. Joseph Parish in West St. Paul who recently competed in the National History Day competition that was held at the University of Maryland. Maggie Schmidt and her sister Kateri and a classmate Carly Zimmerman won first place in the senior group performance category for a presentation that they titled John Paul II's Apostolic Journey to Poland. They did a 10-minute performance about the late Holy Father's impact on the Polish people and their fight against the communist government at the time. The girls, they're homeschooled, and they viewed this not just as an opportunity to compete, but it was an opportunity to learn something important about the church through the research that they did and to share. And I think really they think of it as evangelizing a bit,
right,
about it with those that they performed in front of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a little bit of audio here of Maggie Schmidt talking about the project.
The best part of this project was really learning about the Catholic movement in Poland and really seeing that it was a true faith movement. And then also seeing God's providence throughout our project and seeing that if he wants this message to be proclaimed, then he will have it his way, and that we could say yes and do it, but ultimately it's his work. We really grew to love the topic. It wasn't just something that we were interested in, but we really felt truly passionate about the research that we were doing and learning the true impact of the Catholic Church and Pope John Paul II's visit in 1979 and Poland and how it really led to the downfall of communism.
You know, the girls really concluded it was the faith of the Polish people that tore down that wall of communism, and they tell that story through the people's eyes in their performance. So congratulations again to them for their great work.
And they aren't even old enough to remember it, are they?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I think it's just great a topic like that can, you know, they competed here in Minnesota. They made it to the Nationals. And, you know, I'd be curious to know what kind of impact that had on the folks watching it.
But
everything,
right,
I've heard about it was just a wonderful performance. So
I can imagine. I can well imagine.
What else?
Well, you know, last week, Sarah Mealy in the communications office and I were coming to you live from the Catholic Media Conference in Denver.
Right.
Where a lot of the talk and seminar focus was on the new media and new evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
But we also heard from a couple of wonderful speakers while we were there, Father Robert Barron and Mother Dolores Hart.
Oh, my.
Yes. And Father Barron, of course, is the creator of the Catholicism television series.
That's his claim to fame, but he got his fingers in so many other things
when
it comes to the new evangelization.
And he has a new series coming out on the new evangelization, which I'm very anxious to see.
And he'll be at our Rediscover Catholic celebration.
Right. And in Denver, he offered, you know, a number of suggestions for spreading the new evangelization. And a couple that stick in my mind are what he called leading with beauty and preaching with ardor. And the preaching one, I think, is self-explanatory.
Right. Uh-huh.
But the leading with beauty, showing people beauty as it's captured, say, like in a beautiful cathedral or a Michelangelo fresco, you know, he was saying is a way to get the attention of people in ways that are non-threatening but can be very effective in opening minds and hearts to ponder the bigger questions and topics like goodness and truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great point to make, I thought.
Isn't that kind of what his documentary thing is about? I mean, it entails a bunch of art and history all intertwined with Catholicism itself.
Right. And I think when we talk about reaching out to people that maybe aren't as familiar with the church or haven't been connected to it, it's a great approach to kind of, like I said, open up their
mm-hmm.
minds a little bit and open up their hearts a little bit more to maybe kind of ponder the bigger things out there. And then there was Mother Dolores Hart.
Oh, I've got to hear about her.
You know, she heads an abbey in Bethlehem, Connecticut, but as many people know her, she used to be a Hollywood actress back in the 1950s and early 1960s. She even starred opposite Elvis Presley in a movie.
She kissed him, right?
That's right.
Claim to fame.
She is, you know, just quite the personal story and has a new book out titled The Ear of the Heart, which we featured in last week's Catholic Spirit. But she spoke about the importance of listening with one's heart, and, you know, it's a skill that a monastic like herself relies on. But her point was that it's an essential thing for those of us who work in Catholic media so that we're better equipped to carry the light and the truth of faith out into the world. We have to go out there and listen to the stories that people have to tell and want to share and share those, help them share those with the rest of the world. So she was very entertaining, and she
I bet.
gave us a real good shot in the arm for, I think, what we do at the Catholic Spirit and at Relevant Radio and in other Catholic media as well. So
now we have a guest coming up who is featured in this week's Catholic, next week's Catholic Spirit, is it?
Well, no, it's just last week's.
Yes, and I'll get it right there.
And a couple of things there. You know, we had a great feature about the vocation journey of a Dominican sister, Sister Lucia Marie Simmering, who teaches now at St. Croix Catholic School in Stillwater. But our regular column in the section by that writer, Christina Capecchi, does for us, also featured another woman who became a nun, Mary Ann Marks, a former top graduate of Harvard University, who entered a Dominican community in Michigan, where she's now known as Sister Maria Veritas. And she'll be on the show later.
Look
forward to hearing more of her story.
Now, we're in between issues, so there's an issue out that should be in your homes right now. And what's the issue date of the next one?
July 3rd. We're coming out a day early because of the July 4th
holiday. Oh, that's right. Okay.
And we'll have, again, a number of those stories that I mentioned here, and our Rediscover section will be focused on the sacraments. Keep an eye out for that.
A wonderful topic. I always love to read and hear about the sacraments.
Absolutely.
The Catholic Spirit is on your, well, it's should be on your coffee table and in your hands. And, of course, you can always check it out online, too. Thanks, Joe.
Yep, thank you very much.
And you can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour. And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Coming up, Archbishop Neinstadt discusses the Rediscover Summer Share Project and every Catholic's call to share the faith in today's No Ordinary Conversation.
Plus, in answering the call, we'll talk with the founder of CatholicMom.com about supporting the vocation of mothers, and we'll talk with a local woman about how she discerned her call to consecrated religious life. All this and a whole lot more ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
Hi, it's Rob Dubell from Grove Builders, your local exterior remodeling company. Have you been affected by the severe weather this summer? Maybe you have just noticed that you need a new roof, but don't know who to trust. If your siding has taken a hit and you don't know who to call, I hope you'll call us. If you'd like a worry-free roof right away, or have the options of new siding, windows, or doors explained so you can make a good decision, you can call me at Grove Builders. We are a trusted and licensed local company serving the entire Twin Cities. Grove Builders. We are a certified installer with GAF and Atlas Roof product. We have the knowledge and training to install your roof with the most protection for you and your family. We are honest and reliable with the best warranty in the industry for all of our products. You can find us at grove-builders.com or give us a call at 763-229-0923. We'll have your roof and siding done right and quickly. Grove Builders, 763-229-0923.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, here's something interesting I found in the news this week. In an article by CNA, EWTN News, talking about Archbishop Chaput. Am I saying that right? Chaput.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics should live their faith all in it. Basically quoting him on his talk at the Sarah International Convention held in Mallorca, Spain last week. And there's some really, really good quotes by him that I found super inspiring.
Archbishop Chaput is the Archbishop of Philadelphia. He is a brilliant man and ever so faithful. I had the pleasure years ago of being present at his Episcopal ordination when he became the Bishop of Rapid City.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Capuchin Franciscan and just a delightful man. He said, among other things, that the Christian faith is a restlessness, mm-hmm. a consuming fire in the heart to experience the love of Jesus Christ and then share it with others, or It's nothing at all.
Wow. And he talks about warning us about the words, the new evangelization, how they can be overused and underthought. warning
it
against,
can become a cliche, yeah.
Right, just speaking in it in an empty way as if just saying it or talking about it actually makes the mission work happen. And another thing I love that he makes it so simple for us to do as individuals. He say we control very little in our life, but we do control what we do with our hearts. We can at least make ourselves available to God as his agents. Personal conversion is the first essential step, and it immediately affects the people around us, which I think is so true, and it's something to remember that we can do ourselves every day, get to know Jesus, and it will show to others around you.
And something he said, which was kind of a revelation to me that I like, true evangelization is self-renewing. The more you give, the more you get,
you
and
get.
The more you get, the more you want, and the more you want, the more you get.
Right. it's exponential.
It's fantastic.
Well, that was great, and you can find that again on EWTN.com.
Catholic News Agency.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like he says, we Catholics should live our faith all in. And our next guest is certainly doing just that. She graduated with highest honors from Harvard 3 years ago and made headlines with her post-college plans to be an active and public witness of the faith.
The secular media was a bit stumped by Marianne Mark's decision to enter a religious community, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
And now, 3 years later, Sister Maria Veritas is preparing to profess her first vows. She joins us by phone from Ann Arbor. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us, Sister.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Paul and Corey.
We're excited to have you, and I love your story. So you graduated with top honors at Harvard, and I'm guessing surprised some when you chose then to enter the consecrated religious life. I mean, first off, how did you know it was the right choice for you, and when did you know? Did you know before you went to college, or were you younger? What's a little bit about your story?
Well, I'd been thinking about it for a very long time. I grew up in a good Catholic family, so religious life was always,
there.
You know, always kind of in on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But I really started to understand the calling as a calling from God and something that one is given and not something one chooses in college. And
okay.
So that's when I really accepted the call.
And I bet some people were surprised, some of your classmates.
Who
and
was
professors.
Most surprised?
Well, I think probably some of my professors were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because my colleagues, my friends, and I mean, they kind of knew more about that more personal dimension, but my professors knew me as a student.
Mm-hmm.
And knew that I wanted to continue that. So I think they were surprised that I decided to just kind of jump off that train.
Mm-hmm. Go that route. Well, it's awesome. And why did you choose the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist in Ann Arbor? How did that come about?
Well, Dominicans love study, and they also love evangelization. That's basically their one of the thing that's characteristic of them is to pray, to learn to love Christ, and to learn to know Him not only through prayer but also through study, and then to bring that out to the world. As the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, do that as teachers. Primarily, so in the classroom, teaching our students, and so I love all of those elements, and I especially love our community's focus on Our Lady and on the Eucharist. So we have a daily hour of Eucharistic adoration, and we also consecrate ourselves entirely to Our Lady so that, like her, we can bring Christ to birth in the lives of our students and of all those we meet.
There's one element of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, that I'd like to touch on, and that is you wear a traditional habit.
That's right, we do. We love it.
tell me a little bit about what that means to you.
Well, the habit is an outward sign of who we are of our consecration. So basically, you know, the church asks that religious wear distinctive garb, and the habit that we wear is the habit of the order. It's what Dominic wore. It's what St. Thomas Aquinas wore. You know, all through the centuries. And so, you know, we hope that it reflects you know, the sanctity that we're striving for. But we also hope that it's a witness to others that when they see the habit, that it draws them to God and uplifts them. And it also offers people an opportunity to talk to us. You know,
that's what I would say, to ask you about it and come up to you and have questions for you, or
yes,
just start
exactly.
conversation.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, clerics for the priest do the same thing. When people see a priest and clerics, well, you know, that's an opportunity. Maybe they haven't seen a priest in a really long time and need to go to confession. And so the fact that he's wearing those clerics gives them the opportunity to do that.
Now, top honors at Harvard. How are you going to harness that as a religious?
Well, as God wills, you know, as a religious.
Good answer.
Yeah.
As you know, we place all of our gifts at God's service. He's the one who gave them to us, and he's the one who called us here, and so he knows best how he's going to use them. And I think that's one of the most exciting and beautiful things about religious life, is that you are going to do so many things that you never even imagined you could do, and go in so many different ways, and you're allowing God to work in you, and his plan is so much bigger than anything you could ever imagine or plan for yourself.
Right, and talking about his plan, kind of him guiding you, how do you think you've developed and grown in the faith over these past years that you've been in formation with the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist in Ann Arbor? How have you grown?
Oh, hugely. I mean, first of all, through our prayer,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're graced with so much time to be with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament each day. And then through our classes, studying, we study so many elements of the faith, the documents of Vatican II, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're always learning, and we're about to have a class on Catholic English poets.
Oh, cool.
And we had a class recently that I loved about beauty, and appreciating and understanding beauty in literature, in art,
mm-hmm.
and... So, yes, hugely. Formation has been wonderful.
Now, you're looking forward to profession of your first vows. Tell me, first of all, a little bit about what that means.
Yeah,
what do you look forward to?
That mean, the process?
Well, basically, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, our formation program is, before perpetual vows, is 8 years. So you spend a year as a postulant, 2 years as a novice, then you profess first vows, and then after 5 more years, under vows, you profess perpetual vows for life. And the first vows is really when the person becomes consecrated to God. So I like the analogy of a chalice or a sacred vessel. So,
mm-hmm.
Or even a church. Churches are consecrated, chalices are consecrated, and you wouldn't just bring a chalice home and use it, you know, to drink your orange juice in the morning. And why? Because it's set apart for God's use, and that's what happens at vows to a person, is that she is set apart for to do God's will. And so there are kind of two parts, that there's the dedication on the part of the person, so vowing our lives to him, and then the consecration, that's God's part, where he accepts that sacrifice.
Okay, I have to ask, has anyone come up to you and said, oh, such a waste, Marianne?
The Harvard degree and all that can offer, what do you say to those people who say you might have given up something with choosing the path you did?
I mean, I think that really it takes a lot of faith to understand a religious vocation.
Amen to that, yeah.
You need to just think that... you know, God's plans, like I said, are much greater than any that we could think for ourselves. So we think, oh, wow, a waste, you know, all the things she could have done. And there are so many sisters in our community. I mean, each one has amazing talents.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the parable of the talents in the field. I came to understand that a lot more after I entered, which is basically, I didn't understand why that one who buried his talents, you know, what was he afraid of? But what you're afraid of is that you're going to waste your talent. You're afraid that if you give it to the money changers, it's going to get lost. And that's what we all fear, is that, oh, I have this great talent for study, or this great talent for basketball, or this great talent for music. And if I enter the convent, I'm going to be burying it. I'm going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, that fear is a bad thing. You have to overcome those fears and give those talents to God, and then he will multiply them in ways you could never have imagined. So you bury it in the ground, and you go into this one thing, one area, and maybe you do great good, but you didn't do all of the great good that God had planned for you.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you have for a young person considering a religious vocation?
I would say pray. First of all, take time each day to pray. Find 15 minutes just to be with our Lord and to talk to him, to listen to his voice, to hear him speaking to you. And then also speak to a priest. Find a priest you can trust. Find a religious you can trust, and talk to them about what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great advice. And what do you believe is every Catholic's, all of us, what's our duty to call in this thing we're doing with the new evangelization?
Well, I think, first of all, as you mentioned, Bishop Shipp, you said, I mean, it's self-evangelization. We cannot give what we don't have. So you have to build your own relationship with Christ.
Getting to know him first.
Exactly. Through prayer, daily prayer, personal prayer, through study, through the sacraments, going to the sacrament of confession and the Eucharist as often as you can. And then, you know, Christ will give you that zeal, you know. I mean, He's the one we're working for. He loves those souls more than you ever can. And so he'll give you that zeal to be able to touch the people that you work with, the people in the workplace, in your school, you know, wherever you are.
Yours is a beautiful story, Sister. And Sister Maria Veritas, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure.
It was wonderful talking to you, and thanks for all you're doing.
Now, if you're interested in finding out more about consecrated religious life, the priesthood, or the permanent diaconate, you can visit the website of the Office of Vocations of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis at 10,000vocations.org. That's 10,000vocations.org to help you get started on your search. We put a link on our show page.
And if there's an interview topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, we want to hear from you. There are lots of ways to reach us. You can email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org, or go to the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page, or contact us through the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with fellow Catholics and ask them a question.
This week, we spoke with people attending weekday Mass at the Cathedral and asked them, why do you go to daily Mass? And here's how they answered.
Hello, I'm Richard from St. Agnes Parish. I believe as the saints believe, and always talk about how precious the Holy Eucharist is. And the more you can receive the Holy Eucharist, the more Christ is going to be in you. Just like Paul said, It is not me, it is Christ who is in me.
Hi, I'm Mary from Transfiguration Parish. I think it's important to go to Mass as often as you can, because you will only increase in the graces that you receive, and it gives you another opportunity to show thanksgiving to God for all his blessings.
Hi, I'm Michelle from St. John the Baptist in Savage. Well, it means everything. There's nothing more important than going to daily Mass. It's like a little piece of heaven. I mean, you're praying and communing with God and with the people. It's just beautiful.
Hi, I'm Deanna. My parish is St. Agnes in St. Paul. I like to go to daily Mass because it's the most beautiful thing this side of heaven, because I need his grace and his love and to receive his body.
Hi, I'm Chris from Holy Rosary Parish in Houston, Texas. Well, I would say it's important to go to daily Mass because of the opportunity. The question, I think, is why not go to daily Mass? He's waiting there for you.
That's right. Why not go? And if you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour, please send it our way. We want to hear it.
That was a great one, too.
It is. I was
especially the end. He's waiting for
it. I know.
It.
I was
He's
like,
right
he
there.
He is. Gosh, I need to go more.
There are lots of ways to reach us on the Rediscover Hour. You can email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org, or go and click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org. Reach us through our show page or contact us through the Relevant Radio site, relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, in today's Answering the Call, we'll talk with the founder of CatholicMom.com about harnessing technology to connect Catholic mothers to support their vocation and their faith.
And in No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Neidstedt discusses every Catholic's call to share the faith, and he suggests one tool to do just that. All ahead on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
Relevant Radio and Catholic United Financial are bringing you a special free event that includes seeing Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Wednesday, August 21st, join me, Glenn Leverins, and John Tetzloff for our live radio broadcast from the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. You'll be in our radio show audience, have lunch, and see this fun musical performance. Our radio program will discuss estate planning and long-term care. The event's free, but you'll need to RSVP because space is limited. If you'd like to be part of our group, call today to reserve your space at 612-643-4121. 612-643-4121. There's no cost or obligation to attend. No products or services will be sold at the event. The number to reserve your space for you and a friend is 612-643-4121. Everyone's welcome. Call today for the free Chanhassen Dinner Theater matinee of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and the radio show, Wednesday, August 21st, with Catholic United Financial and Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Answering the Call, we talk with a woman whose work helps support the vocation and faith life of Catholic mothers across the country.
Yes, we are so excited to be speaking with Lisa Hendy, author and founder of CatholicMom.com. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Corey. Hello, Paul. Thank you so much for the invitation to be with you.
You're a regular celebrity online.
I love your blog. I love it. I'm a mom of three, soon to be four, and I love when I have time to be on the computer, I love to go on there and just get some helpful tips or some inspiration or a daily prayer. It's wonderful. It has so much on there.
I confess, I'm not a mom. I'm a grandfather, but I pick you up quite frequently on Catholic News Live.
Well, thank you. And Paul, you're always welcome. We actually have dad and even priest and single male writers writing for us now at CatholicMom.com. So everybody is welcome. And the topics that we discussed are super relevant for anybody who is interested in their faith at this point.
Tell us about some of the topics that you do pick up on CatholicMom.com.
Well, obviously, there's a strong focus on the domestic church and family life, so we do a lot of, you know, family-oriented topics. We also follow the liturgical calendar. We've got our daily Liturgy of the Hours videos every morning. We've got great resources for Sunday Mass for families. We're very popular with the religious ed teachers who come over. We also have a daily Tech Talk focus, which is a review of an app or a website or something related to technology. We do a daily book review, and those are all the latest great Catholic books that are coming out. We've got movie reviews, and we support Catholic musicians. So really, it's just a kind of a daily smattering of whatever our writers are up to. And we've got, you know, over 100 writers at this point. So
that's great.
It's just, you know, a really great cross blend of perspectives across the church.
All encompassing. And how did you get started doing this? I mean, I know it started in 1999, but what prompted you to do that?
You know, really, it was my own struggle with my faith journey. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I was lucky to go all the way through college for Catholic school. But I married a wonderful man who was not Catholic, and I found myself raising these two sons and really kind of struggling with what I was supposed to do. I knew in my heart that I believed our faith, but I struggled with some things that lots of moms struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
So I went looking online. I'd say I Googled, but I think it was even before Google,
right?
And so I wasn't finding a whole lot, and I decided, well, what the heck, I'm going to try this, mostly just as a way to inform myself, thinking that this will be like a three-month hobby, like all my other hobbies, then I'll move on, and here we are all these years later, because, you know, really, I think some of these topics, times change, and things change with technology and everything else, but many of the topics that we discussed are universal, and in the meantime, my husband has come into full communion with the church.
Wow, wonderful.
That's amazing.
It's been a real blessing, so...
Well, congratulations, and tell him we said welcome home.
I tell him that every week when I see him receive the Eucharist.
Oh, wonderful.
It's been 10 years now, and, you know, it's still...
That's so cool to see that.
I still really rejoice every time I see that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so how has technology changed the lives of Catholic moms?
Well, you know, in some ways it's made it simpler. Our communications are much easier. We can be in contact with our spouses, our family who may live far away. And we have all the modern day conveniences surrounding us. But at the same time, I think that it's created a lot more complication in a mom's life. That we're distracted. And for working moms who work outside the home, we know all moms are working moms, but those who work at a career outside the home, you know, there's now this 24/7 work expectation that, you know, because you have a smartphone, you're accessible all the time. And we're also raising kids in a digital age, which complicates from my childhood, definitely.
Oh,
the things
gosh.
That they're exposed to.
It's kind of scary, actually, how young they are and how easy they can be in touch with anybody, and anybody can know everything they're doing, you know, at any time with technology. And with internet and blogs in particular, how do you think that they help support the faith life of Catholic moms during the ups and downs? I mean, I think there's some tools out there that do not help support us. I think there's a lot of things that are kind of make you want to compare, or you know too much about what all the other moms are doing. Like they call Facebook the highlight reel, where you only see the good things. You know, you never see the kid that puked in the car seat. You know, you're not going to post a picture of that, but only when you're out doing these wonderful activities with your kids and, you know, you're super, super mom. But
and your hair looks really great.
Right. And I'm one that does it too. So I'm talking to myself here too. I mean, I fall, you know, into that thing as well, but into that group. But there's good things that technology does too. I mean, for all of us moms that are home or not home during the ups and downs of just raising kids, it's hard.
Well, I think for one thing that the longer format of blogging actually and the ability to comment on blog posts really builds up a community.
Yeah.
And for many women who don't have their own community locally, maybe they don't live close enough to their parish to go to a Bible study, or maybe they're working midweek and they can't be in a women's group. You see these very real friendships build up around blogs, and often that happens in the comment boxes on blogs.
Yeah.
Where I really feel the best of the blogs, you know, happens in that conversation afterwards. But also, I'll tell you that, I mean, I've seen countless women just discover their inner voice in the ability to blog, and really that there's something about writing about your faith that prompts you to learn it better, and that enables us to share it more fully with our children.
You have to know what you're talking about if you're going to have other people reading it as well.
You have a couple of books out, and one of them is called A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms, 52 Companions for Your Heart, Mind, Body, and Soul. Tell me about some of your favorite saints.
Oh, goodness. My favorite, it's sort of ironic because my diocese, she's our patroness in our diocese, but St. Therese of Lisieux is
my favorite.
And I think she's a favorite for so many of us because, especially for mothers, you know, her little way, the spirituality that she develops so beautifully in her writing is so pertinent to a mom's life that, you know, I may have a great desire to go off and be a missionary around the world, but my mission field is my home, and hers was her cloister. And she wrote and lived so eloquently the example of the fact that, you know, the little sacrifices that we make, the small tasks that we do each day can be our pathway to heaven. So along with her, I love St. Kateri Tikiquitha, and I have a deep devotion to St. Marianne Cope as well. So some of our
tell me about her. That one's unfamiliar to me.
Marianne Cope was actually, you know, we know about Father Damien who served the lepers of Molokai, but St. Marianne actually went into that situation knowingly to Molokai to serve towards the end of St. Damien's life, and she's actually a Franciscan nun who took her sisters from Syracuse and, you know, went off to really what they considered kind of a life sentence, going off to Hawaii to serve those with Hansen's disease. Due to her administration and her great nursing and directorial skills, she never lost a sister to Hansen's disease, and her sisters still serve there on the island of Molokai, and, you know, were just a great example of, you know, faith, hands-on faith delivery, caring, praying, but also serving hands-on.
Do you think the internet can be a good faith-building tool?
And how can you use it when bringing up your children?
Yeah, I think absolutely that the internet, you know, first of all, if we can harness its power, that it's there to help us learn about our faith, to help us evangelize our loved ones, you know, to share great videos and stories with our children. And yet at the same time, it can also become a distraction. So I try to, you know, remind the moms and myself included, that, you know, we need to put away our screens and also make FaceTime with
Absolutely.
Our families and make Sunday morning and a non-screen time, preferably all day Sunday if you can.
That's a good idea, yeah. Just be present with them.
A few weeks ago, I visited with Elizabeth Scalia, the anchoress.
My goodness.
And she said that one of the things she finds is that time gets away from her while she's sitting looking at the screen. Do you find that all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, an hour has gone by and I thought it was only 5 minutes?
I don't want to tell you the number of spaghetti pots I have boiled over. Saying,
okay.
I'll just check my email for 3 minutes while I'm making dinner. And then, of course, you know.
Yeah, or nap time that just dwindles away and there goes your entire rest time. I'm like, I should have been sleeping. Instead, I was surfing the internet.
It's definitely, and I think we're all struggling with how we use these tools, but then at the same time, we don't allow them to take control of our lives. And this is uncharted territory for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh, yeah.
You know, by a great example, we have a Holy Father who's leading us into, you know, the new future using these tools, and I think we look to him for a great example, too.
So what do you think the next 5 years holds for the church, both the universal and the local church, when it comes to online engagement?
Well, we see ourselves in a very challenging time. You know, news like the news that we had yesterday,
mm-hmm.
to me,
yeah.
points to the fact that we need to be church all 7 days of the week, not
That's
just
for
on
sure.
Sunday.
Yeah.
And these tools enable us to do that, to be in communion and community with each other, but also to be sharing the good news of the gospel, you know, to our friends who may not actually go to church.
Mm-hmm.
The friends that you have on Facebook, you may be the only Catholic that they know. So your response to news like yesterday's news can actually, you know, be very educational for your friends. I do think, however, that we, you know, we'll see new technology, for example, Google Glass, which is coming soon.
Yeah.
Glasses that you wear that bring virtual reality right onto your face,
I mean,
wearable technology.
That just seems so futuristic and crazy
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, the future is here, and so we need to, as church, use these tools, understand them so that we can educate the faithful about, you know, faithful use of them, how we can use them to spread the good news of the gospel, but also how we can help families to, you know, use them safely and in a manner that edifies our souls.
That's wonderful advice. Well, thank you, Lisa. You can link to lisahendy.com and catholicmom.com from our show page. And to get there, go to rediscover-faith.org, then click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Lisa, pleasure to visit with you this morning.
Thank you both for the great work you're doing. Keep it up and you'll be in my prayers.
Oh, thanks so much.
And a reminder, if there's a new evangelization-related topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, let us know. Click on Show Ideas on the lower right side of our show page or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, Archbishop Nienstedt discusses every Catholic's role in the new evangelization.
Plus, we'll take a look at Catholic events happening around the area. We'll be right back.
During the season, most golfers try to find a course that's fun to play, easy to get to, and lets you make tee times weeks in advance. Deer Run Golf Club in Victoria is just such a place and would like to invite Relevant Radio listeners to enjoy their course this season. Deer Run Golf Club has been named one of the top 20 public golf courses in Minnesota and is filled with just the right amount of challenge and charm for golfers at every level. Great course conditions mean you'll play your best at Deer Run. They can host group events, and it's the perfect destination for a round with old friends or meeting new ones. People often say it's more fun at Deer Run. The staff at Deer Run Golf Club goes out of their way to make you feel welcome, and ProLink GPS systems on every cart make you feel right at home, even on your first round. Buy prepaid rounds and save up to 30%. For tee times, visit deerrungolf.com or call 952-443-2351. Deer Run Golf Club, just south of Lake Minnetonka, off Highway 5 in Victoria.
You are stillness, you are quiet, you are comfort and peace. You are stillness, you are quiet.
Hi, my name is Michelle Flores Monterosas, and I go to Ascension. Over the summer, I'm going to with our catechist leader, and we're going to be training more and like see what else we can change and get more kids to come to our church and be closer to God.
We're Vincent and Leon Arsino from St. Paschal's Parish in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I think we will show other people the way we live, how we are so faithful in going to Mass daily. Mm-hmm. And just by our actions are going to speak to many people. And I pray that we can bring people back to the church.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sada. Coming back from break, we heard from a few local Catholics who are planning on sharing the faith this summer. This is a time of year when many opportunities for giving the reason for our hope when the time just seems right.
Yeah, from graduation parties to neighborhood picnics, from trips to the cabin to summer vacations, we really are out and about during the warm weather months. And in today's No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Nienstedt talks with the director of the Archdiocese Office of Communications, Sarah Mealy, about the opportunity this season presents for sharing the faith with someone seeking answers.
Archbishop, thanks so much for taking the time today. You know, late last summer, you gave the faithful a really beautiful pastoral letter on the new evangelization, and we were doing that as we were approaching the kickoff of the Year of Faith. Now, your letter really was a clarion call for the faithful to proactively share the faith. How important is this for ordinary Catholics to do as Christian disciples?
Well, I think it's one of the most important things that we can do. Our faith is not just something personal, relationship between me and Jesus. It has to be that. It has to be, as Pope Benedict has reminded us, an encounter with the person of the living Lord, you know. But if I'm really touched by that faith, then it's going to affect everything mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you know, if I have this great experience of the Lord's presence, I'm going to want to go out and share it with others. So, you know, in that letter, I really call for people to practice a little personal testimony, you know, an elevator speech, you know, of
right.
3 minutes, or maybe something a little longer in 10 minutes if you're getting together with your neighbors or over coffee or at lunch. How do you explain the faith? And I don't think we've done a good job of helping our Catholic people to do that.
Yeah, almost like we seem to just think it's private. And we can have a personal relationship with Christ, but sometimes we think it should be private as well. And that's not what Christ asks us to do at all. He asks us to reach out, doesn't he?
Exactly. And yeah. So that's the whole communal aspect of it. I've said before that, you know, the focus of the new evangelization is not just on the personal dimension, but it's on the communal dimension. Our parishes have to be sources of the new evangelization. Mm-hmm. And then really our culture should reflect the values that we hold. And so those really, I think, are the three foci that we have to remind people about and ask them to become re-energized in directing themselves to those.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen if we don't do it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know, as summer's approaching, and boy, after a very long winter, we're really glad to see that, we've got, I think, all kinds of opportunities, as we do each summer, to share the faith with others, to put your, I think, call to all of us to put that into action. We should be doing it year-round, but, you know, summertime, we get out of the house. Our Rediscover team just launched something called the Rediscover Summer Share Project, and the objective here is just to take advantage of those opportunities, picnics and reunions and grad parties and all kinds of travel up to the lake. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with that program.
Well, I think the staff has done a wonderful job of kind of thinking outside the box now, and they've come up with this idea of little business cards which have the Rediscover app symbol on it, and so it's very handy, very practical, and we're suggesting that people take these to graduation parties, weddings, backyard barbecues, mm-hmm. take them on the plane with you, take them in your purse or in your wallet, and then mm-hmm. when people start asking you about the faith, give them one of these cards and say, you know, just go to our website and see what
yeah.
we're planning, or you can download it for free, an app for your iPhone or your iPad, and you'll get all the latest news about what mm-hmm. the Rediscover program is about.
Yeah, and one side you've got the website address, and on the other you can get people to the app. So maybe easy way then to connect people with the tools of Rediscover. So now, you know, if we think about the tools, you've got the little business card. I know there's also opportunities out on the website as well. But tell us a little bit about, you know, what you'd like our folks in the local church to do with these tools that have been provided by the Rediscover team.
Well, with regard to the cards, we're saying, you know, take a dozen of them, and if you can, pass out two at any one of those events that you're involved in, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, the staff said if we just do two this summer and get somebody else involved in this, it'll be a great success.
Yeah, and I think we can all find over the course of, you know, 3 months, two people to probably share that card with and just keep it handy. So now there are other tools, though, that are for sharing the faith and the truth of the faith on the website and the map, mobile app too, right? Is there ways that you can use that to take any of the articles there and share those?
Yeah, I really want to stress the importance of the website that we have. We've had over 50,000 people who have had hits on that, and nearly 5,000 people have downloaded the new app. So it's a very popular thing right now. There are more than 400 short articles, videos, and prayers on the website, and the app can easily be shared with others. With a push of a button, you can forward through email, a text message, social media. It's all there, and it's really high-tech, more high-tech than I would be able to use.
Right.
But the staff has done a great job of providing this for us.
Well, that's great. Well, we really appreciate your time today, Archbishop. Thanks so much. And are you planning to keep a couple of these cards yourself and hand those
out? I've already got them in my wallet and ready to give them out.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
So here are the basics on the Summer Share Project that the Archbishop and Sarah were discussing. You can look for the Rediscover Share cards at your parish, and they'll be in those Rediscover kiosks. Have you seen those, Paul?
I've seen them. And
or the tabletop display.
And you can find them at the front desk here at Relevant Radio, too.
Yeah, but come on by here.
but yeah, just pick up as many as you're going to give out.
Well,
you know,
they're really
I don't
handy.
Want to encourage you to waste, but if you think you're going to give out 10, take 10.
Absolutely. They're clever and they're easy. And the cards are one of two main Summer Share tools to connect people with Rediscover resources this summer. This Rediscover Share card is the size of a standard business card, so it's easy to store in your wallet or purse or in your pocket or your diaper bag, wherever you need to store things. You can store it there because it doesn't take up much space. And on one side is the web address, rediscover-faith.org. Plus a QR code. Do you know what a QR code is?
A QR code is one of those little squares that looks like it's got random checks on it, and you can get a free app for your smartphone that will read that.
You scan it or something.
Yep,
like,
you scan it with the camera in your smartphone, and it'll take you to the website.
Gosh, these days everything is so easy.
It's mind-boggling. It is.
So it has the QR code that a person can, like we said, scan with the smartphone and go straight to the home site for Rediscover. And on the other side of the card is the web address and another one of those spiffy little QR codes to take people to rediscoverapp.com, where anyone can download the free Rediscover app for iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. So this is the challenge, or this is the deal. You have to consider committing to give out just two of these cards, and that's so easy. My
that
gosh,
would be
just
easy
two
enough, yeah.
To someone you know or meet before the end of the summer.
All right. Well, the second Summer Share tool is the easy-to-share content on the Rediscover website and the Rediscover app. You can send a link to any article, video, or prayer on the website or app with the push of a button. Easy to do. If you want to send something via social media, just click on the icon of your choice that corresponds to what you want to use to share. Or just send a good old-fashioned email with a link to the article you want to share to a friend or family member. Click on the Share button, then select Email from the drop-down menu. Just as easy to share on the Rediscover app. Just touch the button on the right top corner of the phone screen and follow the prompts.
Easy enough. And a reminder that you can hear Archbishop Neinstedt regularly here on the Rediscover Hour in our No Ordinary Conversation segment.
And if you have an idea for a No Ordinary Conversation topic, contact us through our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Remember to click on radio in the top navigation bar or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
Well, here's a quick look at some great Catholic events taking place locally. And if you're listening on Friday, it's not too late to make plans to attend the Mass and Holy Hour for Life, Marriage, and Liberty on Saturday. That's tomorrow, June 29th. And as we told you last week, this Mass begins at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, and the Holy Hour immediately follows. Archbishop Neinstedt will preside at this Mass and Holy Hour, which are part of the local Fortnight for Freedom events. Again, the Mass and Holy Hour for Life, Marriage, and Liberty take place beginning at 7 p.m. on Saturday, June 29th, which is the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul.
We're in parish festival season. Consider coming to the festival at St. Mary Le Center on Sunday, June 30th. Mass at 10 a.m., roast beef dinner served from 11:15 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at 165 North Waterville in Le Center. Fun festival features include kids' games, country store with homemade baked goods, fresh vegetables, home canned jams, jellies, pickles, silent auction, brand new wall of wine raffle. Winners walk away with a basket of 6 bottles of wine. Proceeds go to benefit parish programming.
And young adults up to age 39 are invited to the next talk in the Theology of TAP Summer Six Pack on Wednesday, July 10th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This gathering of faith, fellowship, and lively discussion takes place at the Glockenspiel Restaurant, 605 West 7th Street in the West 7th neighborhood of St. Paul. And on July 10th, the topic is the new evangelization with speaker Dr. Petrock Willey is an author and lecturer who has taught Christian ethics at Oxford. The talks are free of charge. However, drinks and food are not included. Bring yourself and a friend. For more on this series, you can visit cathedralyoungadults.org, and we've put a link on our show page.
We have an encore broadcast of the Rediscover Hour next weekend. We talk with best-selling author and international speaker Matthew Kelly about his mission to re-engage Catholics in the faith, plus hear what he thinks about local Rediscover efforts underway here. It's all coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.